Let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that chalice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Lenten saint for the year, Saint Alphonsus, relates a story from Holy Thursday night, all the way back in the 14th century, from the town of Seefeld, Austria. He relates a story of a knight, nobleman, and a warrior named Oswald Mussler. And this man was known to be extraordinarily cruel, not just amongst his neighbors, but anybody who had an opportunity to hear of him. He was known that he was so avarice that anybody who would come onto his own property, he would then assert himself to demand a steep tax for passing through his land. And in doing so, the first thing would be that they would be arrested and imprisoned. And once imprisoned there, the money would be demanded to be from them, and whether or not the person could pay was a determination of if they were to be freed. And he was so cruel that if a person couldn't be freed, they would just remain in his dungeon until they could either pay or they rotted and died there. Well, this man, as you can imagine, struck fear into the hearts of everybody who knew of him. When Holy Thursday came around, and was the Mass and the ceremonies that we are to take place, just as we celebrate them today, he came to the priest beforehand, and he demanded of him that he wanted to receive communion during the Mass. Not just to receive communion, which, that is to say that, like everybody that will receive today receives communion. No, that wasn't the case. First and foremost, it was not the customary practice that a constant daily offering of communion was given. And moreover, on Holy Thursday, it was typical that just the two hosts were consecrated, the main host for the priest and the secondary host, which goes to the altar of repose. Well, he demanded that a third large host be consecrated by the priest, and that he alone be allowed to receive that host for himself during the ceremony. The priest, for his part, was terrified of Oswald, and so he knew that if he defied him, he'd be taken under sword and thrown away for good. So he did. He consecrated the three hosts. And at the point of time when communion came, Oswald boldly walked up to the altar, and he stood at the side of the altar, not even kneeling, and was ready to receive. The priest came over, and he placed the host upon his tongue. As soon as he did this, Oswald was struck with a great fear, because the host didn't begin dissolving as normal on the tongue, but rather it turned into a bloody flesh which dripped down his chin and was so stuck to his tongue that it was impossible for him to swallow. Simultaneously, the earth began to quake, and below his feet, where he stood upon the marble, it turned into like quicksand, and he began to sink down into the floor. Choking and unable to stand on steady ground, he reached out for the altar to grab and hold on to balance himself. And as he did so, his fingers melted right through the top of the altar as a hot knife through butter. He began to continue to sink, terrified, until finally the priest came over and removed the bloody host from his tongue and placed it in the receptacle to be moved along with the main host to the altar of repose. This was recognized right away by Oswald to be a divine judgment from heaven for his sacrilegious attempt at communion. And immediately following the ceremony, he went filled with tears to the priest and confessed a lifetime of sin, burdening all of it from him, and then afterwards shut himself up into a monastery and lived out a life truly converted, in which his last days, 2 whole years worth of life remaining in the monastery, were spent in prayer and penance for the wickedness that he had done. On this night, Holy Thursday, our Lord instituted the holy priesthood and also the sacrifice of the Mass, saying the first Mass himself, knowing full well, him alone knowing, of course, that it was to be the perpetual renewal of the sacrifice he was to offer tomorrow of himself on the cross, the price of our sins and the aids that were to continue for all time for our salvation. When we continue along with the gospel text that is given to us in the Mass, slightly beyond the ending that we have contained in the propers, we realize and see our Lord addressing the apostles there at the Last Supper. He knows that Judas has betrayed him. He knows that he has cut a deal for his own life. And as such, he understands that he is to continue on with it once this final meal together and first Mass is completed. He points it out to him that he would be the one to betray him by the giving over of the Blessed Sacrament next to Judas. And it is said that when he receives of the bread dipped into the wine, that Satan enter into him then and there. All the apostles, they were all sinners. And so the scene is interesting for us to see that all of these men received worthily, except for the one, the betrayer, Judas, that he is pointed out as being wicked, that he is pointed out as having Satan enter into him at that moment in time, that he is pointed out to be later in the Gospels as the one who despairs and ultimately kills himself. But all of the apostles sinned. So why is it that he is different? We know they're sinners. That's why our Lord washes their feet. We see St. Paul, where he points out after seeing our Lord at the resurrection, that he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." But Saint John flee and hide in cowardice at the time of the crucifixion. Saint Peter denies Christ 3 times in his passion. And all throughout the Gospels we see their doubts and their flaws and their failings mentioned. But Judas alone gains Satan. This is because this moment in time, the Last Supper, first Mass, he alone, he stands without any kind of love of God. Have the apostles sinned beforehand? Yes, they have lived sinful lives. But these they have known to be sorry for. That will they sin in the future? This also is true. But these sins would come in moments of weakness that would follow, not out of a malice that was possessed then and there in their hearts. But Judas alone had no remorse for his sin. He made his deal with the Pharisees before the supper had begun, and he done so in secret, so Christ would not see, thinking that he could fool him. And he fully planned to carry out the betrayal following the meal, when he would be praying at the Mount of Olives, and carry it out, he would continue to do. And because there was no sorrow, because there was no amendment, because there was no reflection, his is the first sacrilegious communion. The sacrifice of Christ, and thus the Mass, is left to us, because it is out of his love for us, his gift to us and command to us that we receive worthy holy communions, desiring us to come again and again, for the church to increase the opportunities to the point that it is that at any Mass we are able to come and receive him in Holy Communion and encouraged to do this. It is because our Lord desires to be united to us in a greater way than he is by simply residing in our hearts. But rather he wants to share all of himself with us. His earthly flesh and his divine being. And he does so through each and every good Holy Communion. And he calls to us to come again and again. And he reminds us that it is the only thing that should keep us from approaching to receive him when we attend Mass is mortal sin. This alone should be a barrier that should be quickly removed by a good confession, and then that unity found once again. Why does this stand alone as what separates us? Why is this the one thing which allows Satan to enter into the heart of Judas? It is because the very reason for the sacrament is because of God's love for us and the desire for it to be reciprocated to him. And by definition, by having mortal sin on our souls, we have no love for God. It is impossible in that moment. So, a sacrilegious communion is akin to the imprisonment of our Lord. It is like, but far worse, Oswald Mosler, who would kidnap those who trespassed on his own land. It is like as if we were to, if a person not in sanctifying grace receives our Lord sacrilegiously, he locks up Christ within his dungeon, there to leave to rot and to die against his will. Our presence here today, the reason why we attend these sacraments, the reason why we witness these mysteries, the reason why we recount the very day that the Mass is given to us and Holy Communion is left for us, is for us to remind ourselves always the battle against temptation, the fight to remain in sanctifying grace and hold fast to it as the greatest treasure that we can ever have, to increase it daily by our prayer and virtue, and most importantly, to regularly avail ourselves of the great treasures of heaven that are before us. Good Holy Communions, being present at the sacrifice of the Mass, there standing before him on Calvary as it is done again upon our altar, there standing amongst the apostles at the table at the cenacle, there witnessing our Lord because we love him and we desire to be united with him in eternity. There we come back again and again to unite ourselves in the most intimate ways that we can here on earth so that that ultimate eternity may be realized. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.